Your Bibles, please, to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 8. We're going to be thinking today upon a subject that the greatest difficulty was wrapping my arms around it in the study. We're going to be thinking of the Christian in comfort. In my professional capacity, I have sometimes been involved in the process of taking a product from concept to finished final unit. And the problem is never the end. It is always how you begin. There are so many different ways you can begin. A sculptor, when he comes to his material and knows what he wants the sculpture to look like at the end, it is where he makes the first mark on the material that is always the difficulty. And coming to a subject that is as enormous as the Christian and comfort, really the great difficulty was looking at this and thinking, where do we begin? But hopefully with the help of God, just this afternoon, we will just be able to observe some of the things that we find from the Christian conduct in comfort. I would like us to think of the provision of comfort. I would like us to think of the ploys of comfort. I would like us to think of the purpose of comfort. I would like us to think of preparation in comfort. And finally, and perhaps on more of a devotional note for us to end with, the place of comfort. But let's come then, please, to Deuteronomy in chapter 8, and we will be reading from verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we will read from verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And may the Lord just bless this portion of his precious word to us. We're going to have some more readings as we go on, but this will just suffice for the opening portion I would like us to consider in the provision of comfort. As we consider the circumstances that Christians are brought into, and our good brother Joel helpfully provided the fact that we're looking at the different circumstances that Christians find themselves in. And brother Hugh Rees also went through with you how Christians can find themselves in a crisis. Well, today we're going to look at something very different, the Christian finding themselves in comfort. And it is absolutely true, and it is said so often, that the Christian is either going through the storm or we are in seasons between them. That we either find ourselves in the time of trouble or we are at a peaceable, easy season that goes between them. And as the tide goes in and out, we have no control over when those seasons come and go. We remember in our history of this country, the king in the medieval times who stood on the shore and tried with all his force to stop the tide coming in. Well, just as vain as that attempt was, there is no way that we can stop the time of crises in our lives. But we also must learn the fact that there are times of comfort. And what is our conduct in those times? As we lived in Western society in the 21st century, it is no small statement to say that there is no shortage of comfort. That in all the material that we have and all of the comforts that we have, it is no small statement to say that we lack nothing of our comfort. But yet, even amidst a materialistic society, still the Christian, coming to this portion here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, they are now coming to the point where they're going to go into the land. They've just come out of the wilderness experience and they're being called to remember everything the Lord had done for them in the wilderness. How he had kept their feet from being swollen. He had preserved their raiment on their backs. He had fed them with the manna, fed them with the quail, and remembering all that the Lord had done for them in the wilderness but now to think of all the look that the Lord is going to bring them into. I find it's a very appropriate place for us to start. Because I've already said that either the Christian is one who is in a time of comfort or is perhaps tossed in a storm. That even in this room, there are perhaps those who are in the storm, looking for a time when the Lord will bring them into comfort. Or perhaps there are those who are currently in comfort, that we're either in the wilderness or we're going into the land of blessing, that this addresses all people everywhere. Whether we are currently in trial or coming out of it, I think it's very poignant for us to remember that where the provision of comfort comes from. Let's think of the origins of our comfort in this portion as well. Our first verse there, in verse 7 of chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee." What an important thing that is to remember. Friends, when we consider all the circumstances that we're going to go through in this series, as I've already mentioned one, that time of crisis and the time of comfort as well, every circumstance that the Christian can find themselves in, oh, I hope we come back to the point here, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee." Whatever the circumstance, friends, we are not tossed to and fro by the winds of chance. We are not at the mercy of probability or statistics, but rather it is the Lord. The Lord now who has led them through the wilderness, and it is the Lord that brings them to this goodness that they are about to come into. And perhaps it is in our own lives that we can come into great times of blessing. That perhaps it is we can have a new job, or we can start a new relationship, or we can be married, or we can have a child, and all these great things that can occur in our lives, so we can come into such blessing and the great comforts that they are. The Lord thy God bringeth thee. Oh, I hope we're quick to remember that. I hope we're quick to remember, and we're going to think about this in our next section, but just as we can think of the crisis, when the troublesome diagnosis comes, when the bad news arrives, the Lord thy God bringeth thee. Although he has brought them through the wilderness and kept them every step of the way. But as they now come into a new challenge, the challenge of prosperity and of comfort, the Lord is the one who brings them to it. In our modern society, the prevailing religion is atheism. Now, that is an incendiary comment on its own, and I'm not going to unpack that. But the main tenet of atheism is that everything has come from nothing. Ex nihilo, as we would sometimes say. I hope it is that for the Christian who receives much in our lives, that we cannot be those who simply live our lives thinking that what we have has come from nowhere. That the atheist goes around believing that all that is before him, all that is under his feet, and all that is in his life has come around by the mere chain of probability and of chance. But what does our Bible tell us? We go to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17. "For every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." And this morning we have thought much about the blessed person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we can think about the comfort that the Christian can be brought into in his life, and the things that we can enjoy, the blessings from the hand of God, although there may be many challenges that come with increase and multiplication and blessings, Romans chapter 8 tells me, "He that spared not his own son." We've already thought of that this morning, that our Father in heaven, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And at the outset of this, as we think of the provision of comfort, where does the comfort come from? It comes from the one who spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up. But just as there is an action on the behalf of God, as God now provides, there must be a reaction on the behalf of his people. That as God does one thing, we must in response do another. What was it that it said? As we think of the origin of our comfort, let us think of the response of our comfort. As it said there in verse 10, "When thou hast eaten and art full, That when we have partaken of what God has given us in this life, when the new job has gone well, when you've passed the interview, when the marriage has gone through, when children are brought into the home, when a new car arrives, or so many things we can enjoy in this life, when we are eaten and are full, what is the response? The response there in verse 10. Then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. As natural as an exhale is after an inhale, so it must be that at the hand of God providing the goodness that he does, as natural as it is to breathe in and then to breathe out, it must be that our thankfulness follows the giving of God. We've just thought of every good and perfect gift that his hand supplies. Then they were, after they had partaken of all the goodness that God had given them, that now they are coming into the land that God had promised their father Abraham and all their fathers, the faithfulness to his covenant. And now they are finally coming to the dawning of that promise where they will finally break forth and they will be in the land. Then shall they be in thankfulness. Then shall they be in thankfulness. And how we can go through our Bible and see so many occasions of thanksgiving and what exhortations there are for us to be those of a thankful people. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Well, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you in everything. Not just the time of comfort, not just the time of ease, not just when the land is fruitful and when we're enjoying all the blessings of the land, but even in the times of trouble, even when the sky is dark and the waves are high, in all things we must be thankful. Why? Because he brings us to it. He brings us to these points and seasons. And if we are brought to a time of comfort now, oh, we must thank God. But what cuts against the flesh is when we're in a time of distress, when we're in a time of calamity. Are we still thankful? I say that with the fear of God in my mouth, for knowing that what we can speak on, we can certainly be tested on. And never for the grace of God go any of us. But how the Psalms also tells me, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Ephesians chapter 5, as you will be thinking in your Bible reading coming up this week in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The conduct of the Christian in the days of comfort, when the pressure is off, when the days of ease are with us, must be marked by gratitude. No matter the circumstance, gratitude must be ever present through the highs and the lows, through the mountains and the valleys. Gratitude to our God must always be present, because in everything, what we determine that in the circumstances we live, we can learn much of the God who we have, the Father who we know. And what do we learn? We learn of the goodness of God. We learn of the goodness of God throughout it all. That his ever-present hand is one who provides, one who cares, one who gives. We consider as well that they're coming in now to a land of fruitfulness, of sweetness, refreshment, strength, prosperity in that land. But as we think of the many troubles that can come with comfort, one thing we will find is one of the greatest stays from the danger that comfort and prosperity can provide is thankfulness. Thankfulness will keep us from many of the dangers that are on offer to us through the times of comfort. For although there are dangers when the crisis comes, something I would like to think about as well in this same chapter, in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, are the many dangers that can come with it. Come down to verse 11. We'll read from verse 11 to 17. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And now say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. We can already think of the varying circumstances of crisis and comfort, and the many circumstances that we can be brought into as Christians. Or something we must be so aware of are the dangers that are on offer to us, the ploys of comfort. As comfort arrives, Moses now addressing the company before they go into the land and telling them of all the goodness they are about to be brought into. And as it is, they've just thought of God's keeping through the wilderness. But now they must be aware of all the dangers that when the ease comes. And how true this is for the Christian. When the pressure isn't on, when the hardship isn't there. We thought we could go back to the book of Acts and those early chapters. And when was it that there was the most spiritual growth? When was it that there was the most spiritual progress throughout the church? When the persecution began, when the fire was on, when the pressure was on the people. That is when the church multiplied and it growed and it spread throughout the nations. But perhaps in times of ease, if we're not careful, we can experience the opposite. We can experience lethargy. We can experience a spiritual atrophy when there is no pressure upon us. Let's consider some of the things that we are going to think of in the ploys of comfort. That we begin with that word, beware. This is a warning from Moses to the people, and a direct warning from God to us all, that we should all now pay attention. We should all now be aware of the things that can come at the time of comfort. We have determined the origin of our comfort and blessings. We have determined there must be a response for them. But now, the great warning of all is that we do not forget. We do not forget the one who provides. We do not forget the one who will give us such goodness. And I have no doubt in my mind that when the times of trouble are upon us, it is far easier to remember the Lord. When everything is going wrong, when a family member is sick, or when a bad diagnosis comes, or when your notice gets handed in at work and you're being made redundant, it is far easier to remember the Lord then than when the pay rise comes, or the new house arrives, or so on and so on. And when the time of prosperity and comfort and ease is with us, oh, it is so much easier for us to forget the Lord. It is such a new challenge, and just gives us an aspect of how wicked our hearts can be, how deceitful they can be in our flesh. When ease and comfort and rest and our contentment is here, it is very easy for our minds to slip away from the Lord. But there is a key word in all of this, and the word is dependence. Dependence upon God. That they have had to be dependent so far through the wilderness. That if they weren't, their feet would have been swollen, their raiments would have been ruined, they would have starved in the wilderness, they would have died of thirst as they went in there, if God had not provided water from the rock that went with them, or fed them, or kept them. But now, when they come to the land, when the olive yards are full, when the vineyards are fruitful, when the stones are strong and the ground is full of minerals and there is honey and milk and all the goodness of the land, oh, they can quickly forget of the one who kept them in the wilderness. When they are surrounded with delights, when they swim in an ocean of comforts, it is very easy for them to forget the dependency that they had in the days of the wilderness. I like what Mr. F.B. Hall says in his commentary on Deuteronomy. We are warned of the dangers that lie hidden in prosperity. Then would come the temptation to rest in the luxury, forget God's goodness to them, and be seduced to seek after other gods. For we know that this is only the origin. This is the place where the trouble began. That when they forget God, that is not the end, that is the beginning of more and more trouble. Because when they forget God, what becomes their God? Is it their comfort? It can be. But we know that they were also seduced to go after other gods. When they lived at ease, when they lived at peace, when there was no hardship, then they simply slipped away to other gods. Like what Mr. McIntosh also says, are we not prone to forget the Lord our God? To rest in his gifts instead of himself? Alas, alas, we cannot deny it. We rest in the stream instead of getting up to the fountain. How true that is. And all the things that God can provide us, how soon we are to rest in the gift and not in the giver. How soon we are to rejoice in the one who, in the provision and not the provider. Even in our God, the one who had kept them and has kept us time and time again. Oh, that we could all be exhorted and challenged to remind ourselves that every good and perfect gift does not just simply manifest out of nowhere, but comes from the Father of lights. Let's also think of the purposes of comfort. I'd like us to go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, please. And we'll read verse 17 to 19. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. This chapter has much to say concerning those who would live in the comforts of this world and those who would trust in riches. And you may be sat there thinking that Aaron, I have not heaped up for myself riches and financial wealth. But there are so many ways that we can have the comfort and the ease. It is not just found in money or material or cars or houses, but we all enjoy a degree of comfort and ease in our lives when we are not going through the storm. And perhaps it is that those who are enjoying those seasons in life, those perhaps we can think of the material comforts, or even just think of seasons of comfort when we are not going through hardships, we must ask ourselves a question, is there a purpose for it all? Is there a purpose that we are going through all of these things? Well, we would certainly say that in the time of crisis, wouldn't we? That there is always a purpose to go through the hardship. There is always a reason that God is leading us through a particular time of hardship. But can we also ask the question, is there a purpose that God leads us through a time of ease? Is there a purpose that God has perhaps blessed you materially? Or has given you more time in your life? Or perhaps has given you something that is a great blessing to you? Well, we have thought then that Paul does not say in this chapter that riches are sinful. He will say previously in a few verses that the love of money is the root of all evil. But to address those that have the comforts and the riches of this world, what is his exhortation to them? To be a blessing to those who do not have them. That as God is a giver, so he gives to us that we might give to others. The God who abundantly provides to us, how then in our portion we should provide for others. That recently, if we have been through a time of hardship and we have come into a season of ease, how we can look around and know that perhaps in our own assembly and those that we rub shoulders with, that perhaps there's someone who is going through a time of hardship. And we find the exhortation throughout all of the New Testament, comfort one another. Comfort one another. And that can be found in many ways. If we went to the end of 1 Thessalonians, I was just speaking with Josh about this after the end of the meeting, that wonderful chapter which tells us that we will soon be with the Lord. When the Lord comes in a moment and calls us all away, what does it close that chapter with? Comfort one another with these words. How Paul, when he writes about in his epistles, I would pray for the assemblies that to whom he is writing, would often speak of the comfort. Or perhaps when he is going through a hardship, we can remember in 2 Corinthians, when Titus came to him, he was comforted. He was comforted. Comfort does not just have to be the giving of money. But even an open ear, or a ready word in season, or whatever it might be, charge those who are rich in these things. Not just in money, although that might be the case. The purpose of these times is that we might do good to others. One of the greatest preachers who ever lived in this country, and perhaps ever, was the man John Wesley, who went around on horseback preaching from town to town and city to city in this country. And he had a little saying that he lived by. Do all good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Charge those who are rich. Charge those who have these comforts that we can think of, that God provides. We will go back to that overarching question. What is the Christian conduct in the times of comfort? Perhaps we can already mark it as gratitude, dependence. And also remembering the many dangers that we can come into in the times of comfort. When we can be built up with pride, we can be built up and forget the Lord. But let us also remember that there's a time that we can do so much good. It is a time when we can accomplish much. It doesn't have to be a time of spiritual atrophy. It doesn't have to be a time of spiritual lethargy. When we rest on our knees, as that Old Testament phrase speaks of, just resting, not going forward, not accomplishing, but rather it is a time, let us utilize the time. All the times are always there for us to be redeeming. And in so thinking, let me also think about preparation in comfort. Come back into the Old Testament with me, to the book of Jeremiah in chapter 12, just for one verse. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, how then canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? I made mention earlier, and let me speak this with a word of care to us all, is that we may be in a time of ease now, but it will not always be the case. That some of the greatest calamities that have ever come to me in my life have come in just a moment. In just a split second, when I woke up in the morning and I had no intention of going into a trial that day, but then it had just arrived. It was just there. And friends, the time that we have now in comfort, if you are going through that time, then I urge us to be prepared for when the storms come. That if it is that now in times of comfort that we are falling and we are struggling and we are not going on in the way that we should, if we have run with footmen and are wearied, how will we run with horses? My brother Josh only gave us that word of the horses there in Revelation chapter 6. I was smiling thinking, and it's not the last time he's going to hear of horses this morning. But again, the comparison of those men who would just run simply on their feet. So a great comparison of a stampede of those great beasts who would run with such speed and force that if it is in times of ease that we are struggling, what will it be when the hardship comes? That if we have fallen in a land of peace, how will we do in the swelling of the Jordan? And so this is an exhortation to us all that what should the conduct be in the times of comfort, the times of peace, the times of ease, is that we prepare. We prepare. How is it that we would do that? We've already thought of that word of dependence. Dependence upon God and not upon his gifts. And I hope it is today that no one is going around hopping on the crutches of worldly comforts, hobbling along and not leaning wholly upon the Lord. Because when the time of trouble comes and the earthly comforts, those crutches are kicked out from under us, when the things that we could be holding on to, friends, the only thing that will ever get us through the stampede of the horses and the swelling of the Jordan is not the earthly comfort. It is not the increase that we can be enjoying. It is not the fact that we are brought into a good land and we are brought into comfort and we are brought into pleasures and delights and prosperities. It is in the Lord. He is the one who will bring us through the good and the bad. We thought that in Deuteronomy chapter 8, didn't we not? The Lord bringeth thee. But I hope that the time can be used most wisely. I still remember one of the greatest trials I ever went through and the greatest struggles was just a few days before I went into year 11 when I was about 16 years old. Last days of the summer holidays. And the phone rang in the house. I do apologize for using a personal example, but I can't speak of anyone else's difficulties because I've never been through them. I only can speak of mine. The phone rang in the house and I picked it up. And it was one of my aunts up in Glasgow. And she went, Jim. It's not Jim. And my dad, we have a similar voice on the phone. I went, oh, Aaron, something terrible's happened. There's been an accident. It's your nan. Going down, came to the Oxford Ring Road in a car full of my family relations, T-boned by a lorry. Went to be with the Lord a week later in the John Radcliffe. You know, in that summer, I remember I'd been filling my time with so many other things than what I should have been. I hadn't been as I should have been in the Word of God or in prayer. I wasted the day of comfort. And when the day of calamity came, I was not prepared for it. I was not ready to run with horses. I was not ready for the swelling of the Jordan. Oh, friends, let us not rest on our lees. Let us not just be reclined upon the ease of these days, because as we can certainly know that as the hand of God leads us to goodness, he will also lead us through the difficulty as well, because he loves us and he has a purpose for us and he will lead us ultimately to the greatest comfort of all when we are home with him in glory. But there are difficulties to face on the way. And I must challenge myself upon this as well. That am I fully using the time of comfort to prepare for when the days of trouble can be with me? But finally, just as a more of a thought devotionally, I'd like us to go to Genesis chapter 4 and think of the place of comfort. Genesis chapter 4 is perhaps one of the saddest chapters in our Bible. It's neighbours with probably the saddest chapter in our Bible, the fall of man. But Genesis chapter 4, please. And verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. A story that we're perhaps all very familiar with is when Cain murdered his brother Abel for the jealousy of the offering that he had brought. And it's not my intention to get into the essence of this story, but as we think of comfort, comfort is a universal desire. It doesn't matter where we go in the world, comfort is a desire of all men everywhere. There are a few things that are ingrained, embedded in mankind that you will find throughout all of the world. We can think of love, the desire of love, of companionship. We can think of comfort and ease and rest. It doesn't matter if you went to the penthouses of New York or Dubai, or you went to the rainforests and you met the tribesmen there, there is always a desire for ease from rest, ease from the burdens, ease from the hardships that we are in. Because we are in a world of sorrows. We are in a world where burdens oppress us and we are heavy laden at times. But although the desire is universal, where it is met is very different. You know, the desire of comfort is the backbone of all religion in the world. Doesn't matter, name it. It is the desire of all religion in the world. And I'm not speaking of the Bible, because it is very different. But if you took a religion, that if you boiled it down, that generally it is to appease or to merit favor with a divine person or persons to enjoy comfort. That is the essence of religion in the world. Now, ultimately, that's so different from the Bible because we cannot merit or attain or please God in any single way, but God has given us this gift. And we can say with Paul, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. But I'm getting sidetracked here. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Let me just ask the question of where our comfort is found. Where is our place of comfort? Because Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and what defined the city of Nod, the land there, and the city of Enoch, I should say, as he named after his son, was men who were trying to find their comfort in so many other things. You go down and look at those names. You have Jabal, the father of such who dwell in tents, and such who have cattle. Oh, how men try and find completeness in the business world. How men try and find comfort in success and in attaining and having a great business and a great success financially. You have Tubal Cain, the instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. You have men who try and find their comfort in material. You have Lamech, the father of polygamy, who took unto himself two wives. How men try and find comfort in sensuality. But Cain left the very place where our comfort should be. He went out from the presence of the Lord. And friends, I hope it can just be for us all that the things of this world are not the object of our comfort. I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Whatever it is you may be in at the moment, whether you are in the land of peace or in the swelling of the Jordan, I hope that you can have your presence redirected to where Cain's comfort should have been found, the presence of the Lord, the God of all comfort. Because this world is not a place of comfort for us. I like what John Newton said in one of his letters to a friend. They said that God sent a comforter because he knew we would have no comfort here. How true that is. The things of this world should not be a comfort to us. Although we can have so many good things for our enjoyment, as we've already thought in 1 Timothy, the ultimate comfort is the presence of the Lord. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and tried to artificially find his comfort and his joy in so many other things. And the constant desiring of man could never be met. Now, I remember many years ago when I had to do a study in classical music that one of the greatest pieces I think that's ever been written, not for the sake of the music, but for the sake of the title, written by the great Lutheran musician, Johann Sebastian Bach, was this. And I think it's the greatest title that's ever been written of a piece of music. Jesus, Joy of Man's Desiring. Joy of Man's Desiring. And joy is not just that feeling of happiness, but it is the completion. In the presence of the Lord, the constant desirings of man are met. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And just as I close and open up perhaps to some comments or some points, as we have thought of much of the conduct of the Christian, I love the words of this hymn, and it's in the Gospel hymn book. The number slips my mind. My rest is in heaven, my rest is not here. Then why should I tremble when trials are near? Be hushed, my sad spirit, the worst that can come both shortens the journey and hastens me home. It is not for me to be seeking my bliss or building my hopes in a region like this. I look for a city that hands have not piled. I pant for a country by sin undefiled. We'll open up for some comments before we close in a word of prayer.